Good evening, everyone. Let's all turn to 348. 348. Jesus is all the world to me.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. My friend in trial sore, I'll go to him for blessings, and he gives them more and more. He sends the sunshine and the rain, he sends the harvest golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain, he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny, when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches o'er me day and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him when my fleeting day shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend, beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy, he's my friend.
Next selection is 288. 288. I need thee every hour.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can he afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need. My Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every
for prayer. Don?
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your many blessings that are shared with us every day, those so many of them that we take for granted. We are so thankful for your Son who died on that cross, that we might have forgiveness of sins and be with him in heaven one day. Father, as we look out in our world that we live in, where there's many conflicts and wars and famine and all kinds of concerns, that we pray that you will touch the leaders of those nations and help them to learn to live in peace, and for everybody to just learn to live together and get along. Father, we have many of our number that are not feeling their best. We pray that you will touch them and if it be your will, heal them so that they can always be with us and be in this room with us at all times. Father, we pray that as we learn more and more each week, that you will continue to help us to share that knowledge and to touch those in our community. We pray that we will do our part in getting your word out to the public, especially in our own community. Father, as we go through this service, be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like for you to mark in your songbook 798. 798. That'll be our song of invitation, Yield Not to Temptation. Once you get that marked, I'd like for you to turn to 839. When all of God's singers get home, 839. What a song of delight in the city so bright, we'll be wafting to heaven's fair gold. How the ransom will raise happy songs in his praise when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will part us from them. There'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. As we sing here on earth, song of sadness on earth, 'tis a foretaste of rapture to come. But our joy can't compare with the glory up there when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will part us will come. There'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. Having overcome sin, hallelujah, amen, we'll be heard in that land or the foe. Every heart will be glad, and his face will be bright when all God's singers get home. When all God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will part us will come. There'll be no place like home when all God's singers get home.
Jesus told us one time when he was talking to his disciples, and his disciples had saw something that others were doing, he says, either you're for me or you're against me. And so we want to talk about that tonight. I think it's important that we recognize that it's not black, gray, and white, if you will. It's either you're for me or you're against me. We have to decide where we stand with God as we go forward. Our text tonight is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 31. Well, we start with, of course, for Jesus. What are we standing when we stand for Jesus? In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 21, we enter into Christ and heaven through him, through his blood and the sacrifice that he made for us. Verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, We need to have boldness to go before God the Father. Not that we have to be afraid or anything like that, but we can go before God and talk to Him about anything. And the reason that we can go to God in the holiest, of course, we want to enter into the holiest, which is what? Heaven. Heaven is the most holiest place that there is. God is holy, and without, you know, there's no sin in God, there's no lying in God, nothing evil in God. But we get there by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus. And there's so much talked about in the New Testament about the blood of Jesus, that what it does for us, how it guides us, directs us, helps us to enter into Him and be a part with Him. And so tonight, as we see this, as we continue to go along, we enter Him by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh. Jesus came and made a way for us to come to Him by a new and living way. He is the way. He is the only way. He is the only sacrifice. He is the only living way, because He rose again from the dead and ascended to sit at the right hand of God. And we have been consecrated. Consecrated means to be made holy. And so if we're going into the holiest of places with God, then we need to be consecrated. And that consecrated, of course, is through His blood. The veil is Him, what His sacrifice, His physical, fleshly sacrifice that He made upon the cross. And having a high priest over the house of God. So being a part of Jesus means that we have a high priest. You know, if you don't think about that, I don't think that without Jesus Christ, I would never have had a high priest. You know, never have been a Jew at any point in time. But with Jesus, not only is He our high priest, but we're told in Peter that we are high priests before God. We are priests before God, not high priests. That Jesus is our high priest. He is the one that goes before God for the Father. He is the one that has made the one sacrifice for us, Himself, upon the cross. And so when we are for Jesus, we have the privilege of having Him as our high priest, our way to get into before God. Just as the high priest once a year went in and made a sacrifice once a year for himself and then for the people. But Jesus did not have to make a sacrifice for Himself, for He was the sacrifice, and He has become our high priest forever. And then in verse 22, we continue on. For Jesus, we draw near to God with a sincere heart and faith. It says in 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The only way we can do this is because of what we've just read about. Because we have been made holy, we have been made consecrated by His blood to enter into this. Now we can go before Him with a true heart in full assurance of faith. I like that, right? We can know that it's us, that we can have that our heart can be right. As our heart is right with God, we can be right before Him. And so our true heart, just think about that true heart thing for a minute. If your heart is true, that means it's honest, it's full, it's accepting. It's accepting, right? That we have a true heart. You truly love someone, right? You have that heart that is fully dedicated and committed to them. When we have that, we have a true heart, and we can enter in full assurance of faith. We can know that we, without a shadow of a doubt, full assurance that we can go before the Father, because we have been made clean. We've been washed, and our bodies washed with pure water when we're baptized into Christ. We know that we have been made clean. We've been washed before Him. The sins have been taken away. And as we walk with Him, all our sins will continually be taken away through the blood of Jesus, as we go before Him constantly, according to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Then in verse 23, He says, hold fast to the confession of our hope. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. How long should we do this? How long should we be faithful to God? Forever. Faithful unto death, right? This is our commitment, is that we are made a promise to God. We hold fast. Does Satan want to shake us away from holding fast to God? He does. He does not want us to be apart with Him. He does not want us to be apart with God. He wants us to join Him. Well, how would anyone want to go to hell? But Satan's going to go there. He's going to be the first one to be cast into hell. He wants to take us with him. And I mean, that's beyond my comprehension, right? How that could possibly be, but that's the way it is. And therefore, we need to hold fast what we have confessed, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he is my Savior, that he is my Lord, right? That's what we confess before God. And without wavering, don't let your faith waver. Hold strong to God. In the hardest of times, hold fast to God. Time in my life where things were going so bad that I just was felt like I was hanging on with a thread, but it was because of the only thing that held me strong, held me with God, was my faith that God was there with me always. And he has delivered me. He will deliver me. He has delivered you. He will deliver you in the hardest of times without wavering, because he promised is faithful. God is faithful. God will not be shaken. God is always true, that even when we are faithless, he is still faithful to us. He is there for us, waiting for us, helping us. And so we hold fast to what we've said, that we believe in Jesus Christ, that we walk with him, that we live with him. The confession that we make when we're baptized into Christ, that's the beginning point. But that faith, that confession of faith, is something we make every day. Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father who is in heaven. And so we can know that for sure. That this is so. For God is going to keep his end of the deal when we do. And then in verses 24 and 25, he tells us to consider how we should stimulate others to love and good deeds. Verse 24, just that very same thing. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Okay. Tonight we got to figure out how we're going to do that, right? How are we going to do that? We're going to say, hi, it's good to see you. How are you doing tonight? Right? We say that kind of thing. We greet each other like that, don't we? How can we stir one another up to love and good deeds? We encourage one another. We lift one another up. In the good times and the bad times, through suffering and through joy, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. But we're together. You're stirring up one another. You're encouraging one another to love and good works. I really appreciate how David encouraged us to this morning, as you made announcements, David, you know how you did that, to encourage us to keep on focusing on our contacts and focus on reaching out. We need to be challenged to do that and to continue in doing what God has called us to do, to be what God has called us to be, to love and good works. Well, how? Well, it's very simple. The answer is coming, okay? Verse 25. We know this, right? We know verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For not forsaking the assembly. God does not want us to do that. He wants us to be together as much as we possibly can. The early church, you know how often they met? Daily. Daily they were together, from house to house. Daily. Why? Because they were brand new. They needed each other. They needed to grow together. And God is not telling us just as a law, but he's saying this is for you. God has given us his word and to be in a relationship with God for us to grow and to be a part of him and to be a part with one another. For not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We need to be together as the manner of some. Some are doing that. And God doesn't want us to do that. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Yes, we need to be exhorted to do what God has called upon us to do and to be what God has called us to be. Why? So that we can remain strong in Jesus Christ. So we can remain strong with each other. So we can be lifted up and encouraged to do what God wants. This is what God has given us, this exhortation, has given us not to forsake our assembling together. Why? Go back to verse 24. How we can stir up one another to love and good deeds. We can use this time to do that from the pulpit, if you will, from the song, leading the songs that we have, but we can do it before and after services when we're together too. This is what God calls us to be. Now that's the good news. What about the bad news? What about those that stand against Jesus? The next verses are really staggering, challenging. And so we must look at them honestly and make sure that we are not there. In verse 26, he tells us, "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." You mean everything that Jesus has done for us is washed away when we turn against God, when we turn away from God. If we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, he's talking to Christians. He says, if you continue to sin willfully and turn against God, there no longer remains a sacrifice for your sins. That's scary, isn't it?
Yes.
That means we, by our lives and what we have done, what we have said, whatever it might be, has caused this to happen. And 27 through 29, there's a terrifying judgment awaits us. Verse 27, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. That's what awaits us if we have turned aside from God. A certain fearful expectation of judgment. And it's talking to Christians here, talking to them not to do this, but also understand that it's talking about the people out there in the world that are not children of God. That certain fearful expectation, that's, you know, of judgment. There's a certainty to it that this is going to happen, that there's going to be fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries of God. And I preached about hell just recently, and hell is not a pleasant idea. I mean, it's horrible. But Jesus says that if we don't, or Paul, the writer of Hebrews, through the inspired word of God, tells us here that this is what we need to be aware of. 28, anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Do you remember what happened to Achan? You remember who Achan was? When the Joshua, they marched around Jericho, right? And they were told not to take anything when the walls came tumbling down. The walls came down and there was much wealth in that city. But they were told, none of you are to take this for yourselves. Well, Achan and his family, they took some and hid under their tent. And when they finally got down to figuring out, and they lost to a city, a small town, that they should have easily taken because of this. And so, but Achan and his family, right? What happened to him? Well, they got down to him and they said, are you the one? He said, yes. And he went and got the things, and he presented it to them. They took him and his family and all his possessions, stoned them and burned them, destroyed them, and this, because they had disobeyed God. We're told, remember when Jesus met with the woman at the woman that they brought before him and put before him, the adulterous woman, they thought he's going to condemn her. What happens to a woman that commits caught in adultery? You put her to death. Jesus said, okay, you cast the first, who's without sin, cast the first stone. The thing is that Moses' law was really, really strict and harsh. A lot of death penalties laced into it. He says, if this is the case with that law, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? How much worse? What's worse than being put to death, stoned to death, whatever? It's eternal judgment, isn't it? That is the worst thing that could happen to us. Do you suppose that will he be thought worthy to be trampled the Son of God underfoot? When we reject God, that's what we do.
Yes.
We trample the Son of God underfoot. That's not a pretty sight, not a pretty picture for all that he has done for us. And counted the blood of the covenant, the new covenant, the new testament. Remember that when the Lord's Supper was given, he says, this is my new covenant for you. A new covenant was given, and which he sanctified by a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace. You counted the word of God, that is something that's been sanctified. His will, his way has been sanctified, made holy. And you counted it, what? A common thing. It's just like another piece of dirt, right? Let us never, never, ever count what God has done for us as common. Never. And insulted the Spirit of grace. God has given us his word. Let us not insulted by saying, I know more than God does. This is what I think should be done. This is what I think, what I like, what I want. Let's follow God's will and God's way rather than this. Then in verses 30 and 31, God's vengeance will judge these people. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Who's going to judge? God is. We're also told in Romans that God is the judge. But we're to continue to love people, right? We're supposed to do good to those that persecute us, right? And let God be the judge. Turn the other cheek, right? Because let God be the judge. God will judge, not you and me. We're not judging. We're going out. Jesus said, I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And that in John chapter 3. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do about it? Will we do what God calls us to do and be? The Lord will judge his people. Then in verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a wonderful thing to be with God and come to him and have him welcome into our home, welcome into our lives, welcome in and let us be a part with him, that he has made us holy. But if we are not following God, we're not walking with God, we're against Jesus, it's a fearful thing to face judgment day without our souls being saved. I don't want that. I know you don't. I don't want it for us. I don't want it for anyone else. So, all spiritual blessings are for Jesus, are from Jesus, are with Jesus. Everything, every good blessing. It says in James chapter 1 that all good things come from God. All good things come from God. But it's a terrifying judgment if we stand against Jesus. We always need to remember where we are with God and make sure that we are standing with him and not against him. So are you living for or against God and Jesus? The choice is yours. Won't you come to him tonight as together we stand and sing?
thank everyone for coming. Is there any announcement that needs to be made that we have not already made today? Go ahead.
Just a reminder, not just we mentioned it today, but trying to get this Ark Encounter trip booked, and tonight is the night you need to turn in your paper if you haven't come in one.
That's true. If you have not filled out the paper for the Ark, to see that, to go there. If you haven't filled one out, please stay afterwards and fill one out and give it to Brent. We're trying to get up some people to go. If we have 15 or more, there is a discount on the price of getting in. I did forget to ask, has everybody had communion today? If you have not, raise your hand. Okay, I did forget that. If you want to go, please fill out that tonight and give it to Brent.
The new mover boxes, we've got a bunch of them this month. They're made up in the back. So if anybody wants to grab some and help get those delivered, that'd be great. If you're not sure about how to do it or what to say, get with me. We'll do a little quick review of them. But they're back there, the cars are on them. So all you got to do is get the box.
I want to thank the ladies that are putting all that together, and I've done a good job, and just keep up the good work.
Teens helped a lot.
Yeah, the teens were a big help today.
Well, good, good. That's a good start.
And Luke.
Preteen.
Needs to do cards tonight.
Say it one more time.
Team
1 is cards for tonight. Team 1. I still need some help moving desks. I still need some volunteers. Please, if you can help me, I'd appreciate it.
Where are you
please.
Going to
out.
Out? Remember to keep that one.
Right, but the intentions is making that into the flower room, put all them together, get all these flowers and put them in there. And those desks are taking up a lot of room that are not being used. If you want one, see me afterwards. Pick out what you want. Is there anything else that needs to be mentioned?
James?
Yes.
I've been trying to get a hold of you to make the last week or so, and you never returned my call. Does anybody know anything about her?
I haven't called her. I don't know. I thought they were here the week before. I wasn't here last
week.
They were.
Maybe Doug could go see them or something.
I don't know. We need to find out what's going on.
Yeah,
but
we weren't here last week. It was the week before.
The week before last. Yeah, they were here the week before. 2 weeks. Better 2 weeks.
And that's not Junior Mayberry anyway. That's he's getting them mixed up. Anybody else? If not, Charles, will you dismiss us, please?
Six and all worship once again. Give us in the Father and bless us.